Amen. All right, take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and open to 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter 1, and we'll find our place in verse number 18 and read down through verse number 25.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. I want to share a message today on the seed of God, the seed of God. Verse number 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious reading of the Holy Word of God. Father, we come today to rejoice, to give thanks, and to praise and worship for what this Word has revealed. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to reveal yourself. And God, in that revelation, you have given us the gospel. For we learn by revelation that thou art holy and we are sinners. And we're separated by sin. And Lord, that our transgressions have brought judgment and condemnation upon our souls. But yet, Father, we have learned from Thee that there is a hope, that there is a salvation in Jesus Christ, and the precious blood that He shed, Lord, was not accidentally given, but it was foreordained before the world that He would shed His blood for sinners. God, we come today to worship You and give thanks and praise for this love, for this sacrifice, for this great salvation. And Father, we come to rejoice, God, in what You have begun in us and what You will finish. We're thankful, Lord, that even though we have a pathway of suffering and affliction upon this world, we know that joy and glory awaits us. Lord, we shall receive even the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. And Father, we do rejoice and give You praise. Now help us, Father, for we gather together. And Lord, we are a needy people. There's much we need to learn. There is much growth needed in our life. There are much victories we need, Lord, to find in Christ. Lord, I pray for those that might be here today that have never personally called upon Jesus. I pray that today that they might call out upon Thee. And Father, for Your great mercy and Your grace, and receive Jesus Christ, Lord, and His great salvation. And Lord, receive that eternal life and forgiveness of sins that's promised. God, would You help us today? Would You meet with us? Would You pray? Would You manifest Your presence by the power of the Spirit of God in awakening us to truth and reality, to eternity? Write it upon our hearts, Father, that we might be forever changed. We'll thank You and we'll praise You in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Our text draws us upon a simple yet profound mystery that's common to all men sooner or later. From a very early stage in life to our adulthood, we have been familiar with that common instrument of the seed. And the seed, a simple thing, a small thing, a common thing, and yet if we stop and look at it, consider it, think about it, watch it, it is quite mysterious, it is quite profound. We have sometimes tried to listen to authorities and educators tell us what happens, but there still remains a mystery about the seed that is hard for us to express or to comprehend. I have seen and witnessed and shared with you of some of the things that I have seen over the time, and how that sometimes those seeds can lie dormant for years. Matter of fact, there have some documented who have been dormant for centuries, but were planted and sprang to life. Isn't that remarkable? I know it's a common thing. I know it's a physical and material thing. But yet there is the mystery of life contained within it. I read a couple of years ago, I wished I had kept the article like so many times. I don't keep them. And I wished I had. It was about some special kind of palm trees that used to be in Jerusalem and they were all extinct. But they discovered in searching some of the caverns, they found that some of those particular royal seeds had been saved and they had been there for over a century. You know what they did? They planted them. You know what happened? They came to life. And those palm trees are back in Jerusalem today because they found them. Isn't that remarkable? That it could lie there in a state waiting for the right conditions. That it had life within it. No wonder God has chosen the seed as an illustration to help us understand the miracle of God's salvation. And in this wonderful mystery, I think about how that you and I could take, we could eat that apple and we could take those seeds and save those seeds. And you know, as we look at that little tiny seed, within that seed, you know what's in that seed? An apple tree. Isn't that amazing? Listen, within the context of that seed, within its development, within its chemistry, now listen, what is contained within that seed is an apple tree waiting to grow and to blossom and produce fruit. It's just waiting upon the simple conditions that are met. And when those simple conditions are met, then life is born. As you and I think about that, we realize that other things are supplemental to its growth and development, but the truth is that everything that is in that nature to become is contained in that seed. It uses water and sunlight and soil and simply uses that, of course, to supplement that growth and that germination. But everything that the apple tree needs to become an apple tree is contained in that seed once those other supplemental things are added to it. And so it does not draw its nature from exterior, it's contained within. And so we find here that the text uses that simple yet profound truth to illustrate the power of the Word of God. For we find in our text that He is relating to us that the Word of God is likened unto a seed. The miracle of life, the miracle of germination is found in the Word of God. That is, we mentioned in Sunday school that there is something mysterious and powerful about this book. It is unlike any other book in the world. You and I have read books, and perhaps you've read many books. Sometimes you've read them two or three times. But what's amazing about the Holy Scriptures is that you can reread it your entire life and come out with something brand new that you have not considered before. And it springs to life, and it feeds your soul. That's amazing to me. Why? Because it is a living thing. The Word of God is living. That's the reason the Word of God is never outdated. It is never old-fashioned. It is never archaic. I was sharing with Matthew, wherever he is. There he is. I was sharing with Matthew, we were talking yesterday, and we were talking about some of these things, and I said, you know what, I have looked at some of the minor prophets, and we did a study not long ago. I was looking at one of the minor prophets, and I said, you know what, this thing was written yesterday. I mean, it was written yesterday. Now, I realize it was written 2,000 years ago, but when I read about the relationship to the prophet, his message to the nation of Israel, my goodness, I said, that is a carbon copy of exactly who we are, where we're at, what time we are, what is the condition of our society, where is the condition of our world, what is the relationship of America to the past, to the present, what our founders have said, where we're currently living. And I said, this thing was written yesterday. You know why? Because it's a living book. It is never outdated, never old-fashioned, because the eternal God wrote it. When God wrote it for them, He wrote it for you. And it contains principles that are applied in every generation. specifics that would have identified it with only with one group of people, by the miracle of the Holy Ghost have been avoided and substituted with principles and things that are applied for every people that's lived from the beginning to the end. What a miraculous thing is this Bible, the Word of God. Our text is vitally important, Brother Cliff, because it teaches a Bible doctrine. And listen, in modern language, modern society, and liberalized Christianity, the word doctrine is hated. But I'll tell you what, thank God for Bible doctrine. You know what Bible doctrine is? It clears up doubt and confusion. It settles things. It makes things certain. We have here a great Bible doctrine. It is the doctrine called regeneration. The Bible doctrine of regeneration. You won't hear it preached much in modern society because of the corruption that's come. Listen, in the light of a false teaching that is prevalent in our society, the doctrine of regeneration, listen, exposes the spirit of error. We're living in a world where rationalism and modernism and liberalism has been conspired by the devil to bring confusion and doubt about how men say. If you were the devil, what would you do? I'd hit the matter of salvation. If I wanted to hurt God, if I wanted to offend Him, if I wanted to get back at God, I'd attack that which He loves and that which He's trying to do. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to love you unto Himself. He's trying to save your soul. He's trying to redeem your life from destruction. He's preparing you to fellowship with Him. And so what does the devil do? He conspires against the matter of true salvation so that men are in doubt or confused as to how, listen, they can be forgiven of their sins and how they can be restored in a right relationship with God and how they can spend eternity with Him in heaven. And so the devil has conspired and he has used these as tools to bring doubt and confusion about the matter of salvation. And so I'm glad for Bible doctrine. Not a word I run from or hide from. It's a word I celebrate. Why? Because when it comes to going to hell, I want a clear message that I'm not going. If I want to know how to get my sins forgiven and how to spend eternity in heaven and be on God's side, be the friend of God, not be His enemy, I want something to tell me for sure. That's what Bible doctrine does. It tells you for sure. And so thank God for this text of Scripture and others that teach us the Bible doctrine of regeneration. Now, notice here some simple principles here from this text of Scripture. First of all, the seed of the Word of God is God's illustration to teach us about the matter of regeneration. The first word I have, point number one, is generation. This generating power. Notice what He said. He said, being what? Born. Y'all help me. Can y'all read English language? Born what? Again. Born again. Now that's a simple term. It's been hijacked by society and weakened in its biblical truth. But the Bible here proclaims that here's what God does when a man is saved. He is born again. Nicodemus hung up on that because he's naturally minded. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was a master teacher of Israel. He didn't want to be seen. But why did he come at all? Because Jesus manifested the power of God he didn't have. He knew he was missing something. Jesus saw him coming, skipped all the casual terms of relationship, and just saw him coming, knew what his question was, answered it before he ever got a chance to ask it. What did he tell him? You must be born again. That's what you're missing. That's the answer to the question. That's why you're puzzled. That's why you're coming to me. That's why, listen, you don't have what I have. Listen, that's why the Spirit of God is not manifest. That's why you have no power with God. That's why you have no understanding. And so before he ever got there to have the discussion or ask the question, he gave him the answer before he ever got there. Hey, you must be born again. Can I tell you, listen, that's the first thing you need to settle in your relationship with God and your crisis, your problems, your handicaps, your obstacles, your difficulties. Listen, your life, your future, your eternity. Listen, that's where it all begins. Listen, if you got marital problems, if you got health problems, if you got financial problems, if you got issues and problems and crisis and handicaps and all, listen, it all starts right here for the same person. You must be born again. That's where it starts. You have to establish, first of all, a right relationship with God. Everything else is wrecked and ruined without it. Your life, your home, your marriage, listen, your society, your future, your eternity, it's all wrecked, it's all ruined until you first get a right relationship with God. And it can only happen by the power of generation, the regeneration of God. Ye must be born again. Your approach to God, listen, for reconciliation. Your desire to bring your good efforts, your good works, your religious activities, your service to others, your sacrifice made to society, all the efforts you made to good, the answer is the same. You must be born again. That birth represents something new. And what the Bible is indicating and what regeneration vitally teaches us is the error, the serious error, the heresy of reforming. Listen, the apple tree, in order to grow one, you have to have a seed and you have to plant it. That's only going to get one. Listen, you're not going to be a Christian until God plants the word in your heart and in your soul and it springs to life. It is the power of generating something new. You see, what God is teaching us here is that salvation is not reforming or becoming better or a change simply of attitude or a new determination. It is something that God has to do that you don't have the power to do. This is the new birth. This is the generation. When a child is born, what did you have to do with it? Nothing. It's what? Listen, your parents did produce life. You had nothing to do with that. It's the same thing when we come to this matter. You and I do not work for it, nor can we earn it. We simply receive the seed of the Word of God by faith, and God is the one, listen, that brings about a new life. This is the power of generation. Listen, this is the work of God. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. God gave birth to something in you that was not there before. And it couldn't have got there except He knew it. And so, that is the power of regeneration. That is the doctrine of salvation that the Bible teaches. That needs, listen, to be proclaimed. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Born of God, not of man. Not of the will of man. Not of the will of the flesh. A man who is saved is a man who is born of God. God planted the seed of a new nature, a new life in you. When you received Him by faith. And so, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory overcometh the world, even our faith. And so the seed, when planted in water, generates life. When the Word of God is received in the heart, you know what happens? The power of truth begins to come alive. When you plant that seed, especially if you're new at it, you walk out there and you look at the dirt, see. Nothing yet. Come out there a couple of days later. Look down there. Oh my goodness, I see it. Little tiny piece of green. You think maybe it's a weed. No. Because they're all in a row and they all look the same. Yeah, there they are. It's common salvation. Now listen, we all come from different walks of life, creeds and races and all things we come from, but it's common salvation. You know what all of them start looking like? All of them look like little Jesus. They do, because we're made in His image. And we are conformed to His likeness. And so you look, and there it is. A little bit of life. Bring a little life. The power of life. You know what happens when a sinner opens his heart? We shared it last night in our fellowship. Listen, the power of truth, when it comes in, it begins to expand and multiply. And here's what happens. When a man by faith, when he comes to that place in his life and the Holy Spirit convicts him that this thing is real, it's true, it's real, God is real, heaven's real, hell is real, salvation's real, Jesus is real. Listen, His love for you is real. He died on you, listen, for the cross for you. Your sin is real. And listen, He made it possible. You can go to heaven and God starts speaking to you and He's speaking to you that is real and is for you and is for you now. And when you say, yes, Lord, I hear you, and I'm going to receive Christ. You know what happens? Truth gets in there, and it explodes. Springs to life. You know what happens? All of a sudden, you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what it leaves you with? It's real. It's real. For the first time, the fact that God's alive is real. Amen. It's real to me. Oh, I've known He existed. I always used to say I believe in Him, but it wasn't real. But I'll tell you what, it's real. It's real. Jesus becomes real. My sin becomes real. My forgiveness becomes real. Listen, my hope I have of heaven is real. The peace I have is real. The joy I have is real. The desire I have to learn more about Him, the desire I have, listen, to want to be closer, the desire I have, listen, to please Him, all of a sudden, that's become real in my life. Why? Because truth has finally broke through. And all of a sudden, just like that seed, that old hard shell finally gives way, and life springs up. And listen, you have that old hard shell of doubt, that old hard shell of, listen, of loving sin and loving darkness. And listen, all of a sudden, it broke through, and now life. Become real. The power of truth, you know what it does? It begins to overtake the darkness in your heart and shine it with light. It begins to find the cancer of sin and begins to attack it and show you that not only is it wrong, but listen, it'll bring a curse upon your life. And you realize, listen, it's not my friend, it's my enemy. It's not my happiness, it's my sorrow. It's not my liberty, it's my bondage. And all of a sudden, listen, truth begins to bring it all alive. And it becomes alive and real for the first time. The Bible says, Matthew 13:23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth, which also beareth fruit. It beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That is, the manifest change in your life becomes evident. I like fruit. Fruit is God's candy without the sacrifice of your health and your teeth and everything else. It's a sweetness that at least has a health benefit. I like fruit. It's sweet to the taste. You know what happens when you let truth in? God begins to deal with all those things that are wrong, and He starts to grow things that are sweet and precious. Now listen, some of you, before you got saved, I'm just going to be honest. You just flat mean. Unkind, uncaring, unthoughtful. Huh? Some of you, I'm going to be honest with you, you are high maintenance. Listening for amens out there. You know why? Because you're so self-centered, people are going to harm us, don't you? See what happened? When you open your heart to Jesus Christ, truth came in there, and it started growing some fruit. Started growing some fruit. Some love, some peace, some gentleness, kindness, goodness, mercy. Started growing those fruits. Why? Because of the power of the seed that began to generate life. And listen, you grew a flesh tree. There you were in all your glory. You thought. Wasn't near as pretty to the rest of us as you thought it was. But there it was in all your glory. But God came in, started growing His tree that bore the fruits of the Spirit. I want to tell you, that is a pretty tree. A refreshing. Let me give you the second thing I find in this. I find not only that generating power, but I find also the concept of eternity. Notice what he said. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. A seed, and what it grew and what it developed, was incorruptible. I like that. Corruption means loss. Okay? It means decay. It means to be dissolved. But what God planted in you and what God sprung to life was incorruptible. And He gives us the illustration. He said, listen, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man, the flower of the grass. And so the glory of man, listen, it blossomed, but it wasn't there long, and all of a sudden it was gone. But the contrast here, He said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And He tells us here, the contrast between what man does and man's goodness and man's effort and man's reward and man's glory fades quickly. But that the glory that God has planted and established is incorruptible. It will continue. You know what happens to an apple tree eventually? It just gets to the age where it's no longer productive. You know what you have to do? You have to cut them down and plant new ones. Comes a point. Comes a point where it's no longer productive. And start over. But you know when God started, what He planted will continue to grow and expand and grow and expand and grow and never decay, never become corruptible. It is incorruptible. You know what that means? That what, listen, what God planted will overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Did you hear me? I didn't say everybody who professes to know Him would. I said what God planted, that's a product of the new birth. That's a product of true salvation. It is incorruptible. You and I, we face corruptible elements in the world. We face the flesh. We face the devil. But listen, on the authority of this Scripture and other Scriptures, we find here that even though those obstacles and enemies are powerful, and yet we understand that God has planted an incorruptible seed. That is, that it will overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. I have a Scripture in 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God, what He planted, my friend, is incorruptible, and it will continue to grow, and it will blossom for the glory of God. And listen, we'll continue, even though it faces obstacles and enemies. What God planted is incorruptible. If it was born out of the flesh, it won't make it. It won't make it. Your endurance is not due to the determination of your flesh. Your endurance is due to the grace of Almighty God. It's God who who does the preserving. It is God who does the keeping. You see, that which is born in us is incorruptible. Number three, I have to hurry. I've chosen the word complementary. By that I mean a likeness, a consistency. You remember in the book of Genesis when God talked about the seed? He said as the seed was spread, it would develop after its kind. So if I plant an apple seed, what do I get? That's very good. No, good. Plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple. Right? After its kind. Now the Bible indicates here that we are born of who? God. We're born of God. The Bible makes reference to the fact that it's the seed of God. And so when a person is saved, you know what the Bible gives a new term for the believer? He is called a child of God. He's a child of God. Why? Because of the new birth. When he received Christ, he was born again. He had a second birth. That which is more of the flesh is flesh. That which is more of the spirit is spirit. And so you had a first birth. You became a human being. And you have a flesh. But you became born again when you trusted Christ. And God, now you're born of the Spirit. You're born of God. And so after its kind, you and I will develop in this growth of a likeness of God. The word here of the seed in the Hebrew is a word that means parentage. In other words, you will be like your father. You'll be like your father. That is the nature of the seed, right? When you pull an apple seed, when you pull one from an orange or whatever you take it from, you expect to receive that which is complementary, that which is consistent, the likeness of what it after its kind, you get the same thing, and it will grow into that same likeness. And so, here's something we learn about the doctrine of regeneration. That when a man is saved, what God gave birth to was his own likeness. So what happens is when a sinner gets saved, God does a great work of making him into the image of his dear son. He is made likened unto God. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Being like Jesus. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we are changed in the same image from glory to glory. I wish I had more time. Let me give you these quickly. I want you to see. Here is going to identify the characteristics of the new birth of these people. Look what he says quickly in verse 22. Seeing. Here's the fruit. Here's the product of their new birth. Here's the testimony, the evidence that they have been saved, that they have been born of God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Notice those three things. First of all, purifying of the soul. That was not a shallow or surface cleansing, but it was a cleansing that began from the fountain in the depths of the heart. There was a purifying that goes all the way within. And listen, was not shallow, not superficial, but it was a real change of life in relationship to sin. Secondly, it was, we see here, their obedience. Obeying the truth, their obedience. That is, they began submitting to and appropriating the truth of the Word of God. Practically, listen, there were things they used to do they don't, and things they didn't do now they do. And that became evident in their life. If your do's and don'ts ain't been changed, listen, there's something wrong in your profession because God has planted in you a new seed, a new life, a transformed life in His own image. You are born of God, and here's what happens. The do's and don'ts get swapped. And things that I should have done, I didn't do, now I'm doing. Things I shouldn't have done, listen, I quit doing those and doing things that are right. And so He said, listen, here's the fruit. Here's the evidence. Here's the testimony. If you go, remember Jesus came and He cursed the fig tree. Why? Because it had leaved. And when it leaved, it's supposed to have fruit. And when He came, it had a profession but didn't have any fruit. He cursed it. He was showing the nation of Israel that you profess to be the nation of God. You have the profession, listen, that you belong to Him. You have the profession of having His nature. But when I came, there was no refreshment, no evidence, no fruit. That there was a true work of the Spirit. And so He cursed it. Listen, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, there ought to be evidence of the new birth. The evidence, listen, come forth from the growth. It will show. If you plant something, it's going to show above the surface. Amen. And here it's going to bear fruit. And He said, there's a purity in your soul, there's an obedience, and there is an unfeigned love of the brethren. That word unfeigned is important. It means without hypocrisy, without an ulterior motive. It means it is pure. It's without self-corruption. He's saying there is a love that is uncommon to natural men. You know what's common to natural men? The taint of the flesh is always intermixed with the world's love. There is the leaven of self always mixed in with it. He said an evidence that a man is born again is when that love comes without self-interest. That is a manifestation of the work of God. That there is a purity to it. That is without corruption. And so, in simple terms, the doctrine of regeneration. Very simple. You must be born again. You can't do it. God does it. Well, how does it happen? It's when you finally receive the very Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you open your heart and accept this truth that God's revealed to you. Listen, God does the miracle part. The Bible said we become partakers of the divine nature. In a sense, I think it doctrinally will hold a test of Scripture that God actually gives birth to Christ in you and He begins to live His life in your life. A new creature made by God. Oh, listen, friend. That doctrine of regeneration, when you plant something, sooner or later, it's going to come out of the ground. And the more it grows, the more it shows. Amen. And you know, when you first look at that plant, it may not look like an apple tree. I can tell something's different. I can tell, listen, something's been changed. I can tell something's been planted. Listen, it's small at this point. But at some point, you know what's going to happen? It's going to have the leaves of an apple tree. And then later on, you know, it's going to have apples on it. If God gave birth to you, it's going to grow. And it's going to become more and more visible. That is what God planted in your life. Seen by the fruits of the Spirit of God in your life.